You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning, the 10th day of March. That's right. Hope you're having a good morning. My morning started early. At about 3:40, my phone rang. What? Who's calling me at 3:40? Well, turns out it was somebody trying to help somebody. And, hey, can you hop on a phone call? And the answer was, sure I can. And I won't go into the details of the phone call, but obviously somebody calling you at that hour of the night, things are pretty serious. But my concern, right, at the end was the person who called me saying, can you help? And, you know, this is a rough business, you know, helping people, you know, in various stages of, you know, of... crisis, if you will. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't turn out so good. And, you know, what you try to, I don't know if you can inoculate them from it. I don't think you can. But what you try to do is you try to make sure that they know that, hey, man, the home team doesn't always win these games. The good guys don't always win. And, you know, when the good guys don't win, it's not your fault. And so had a long conversation after the first one ended, you know, talking about that, in that, you know, life's rough. It's not for sissies, man. You got to be tough. And I don't think we teach that nearly as much as we should. And in particular, when, you know, you do cross paths with people that are struggling and they're threatened to take their own lives and things like that. And, you know, you're trying to point them to, you know, the people that can help them. And, you know, and they're to the point where they're saying, fuck that, fuck that, fuck that, fuck that. And so it's a pretty daunting task. It's a pretty daunting task. And so again, you know, again, I don't know, you can't inoculate people against that. But hopefully you try to fortify them by, you know, by talking to them about it and say, hey, you know, sometimes this stuff doesn't turn out very good. You know that, right? And well, you know, and then the answer you always get back is yeah, I know, but hopefully this time. And then the phrase that always comes into my mind when I hear that is, yeah, but hope's not a COA. Hope's not a course of action. Okay? So as difficult as it is, you know, you have to prepare yourself for that. You have to prepare yourself for that. And it sucks. it sucks when the good guys lose, and it sucks when the good girls lose. So, so anyway, that's how my day started early today. And being the light sleeper that I am, especially with those things rolling around in your head, I got up and started working. So good morning to you. Welcome. Actually, good afternoon to you. Good my afternoon to you. And again, the more you do this, the more you run into people that have structural, what I call structural issues. And post-traumatic winning can help them, right? So one of the things that I learned early in doing this is understand the limits of what you do. And so I'm mindful of that, and I tell everybody that. You know, the biggest determination you have to make is, are they capable of having a rational conversation? Because if the whole conversation is irrational, then that is, you know, that's a sign that there's other stuff going on in there, man. And that, you know, sitting down and talking about the truth and telling them that they can do it and showing them a path, that none of that will resonate because of the infrastructure damage. Once the infrastructure damage is repaired or mitigated, then, you know, if you can have a rational conversation with them, then you can show them Interstate 4. You can show them the path. But until that point, and, you know, that's frustrating. That's frustrating for a lot of people. And so anyway, you know, a word to the wise, right? You know, that's the first thing that in helping that you need to look for. And that is signs that everything's not wired together, you know? And, you know, I would tell you that most of the time that's not hard to see. That's not hard to hear. You can hear it. You can hear it. And so, my experience from earlier this morning. The other thing in the aftermath of the show yesterday, in which Alex Hollings and I got into it about what I believe is the president's being, you know, blamed for the American response, and that, you know, my point is that, look, you know, the only way you can judge a decision maker is if you know what he knew when he knew it. Right. And none of us know that. Right. Nobody's written that piece of history yet. And is the American response outside the parameters of the rest of the industrial nations of the world? Right. All of which have, you know, pretty robust public health systems and people that manage those things that have been doing it their whole lives, that are pretty learned in the area. So anyway, it's interesting. Interesting discussion between Alex and I, and I believe that you can't hardly read anything if you flip through your news feed. You know, it's the president didn't react in time, right? You know, like he's the head of healthcare in the country. Like it's, everything's dependent on what he does, and we don't have other. So anyway, I reject that notion, man. But you're seeing things that I don't recall seeing, and I don't have a great memory for both MERS and SARS. I don't have hardly any recollection. I mean, I remember the name, but I don't remember the things that happened. And so now you're watching this. Now, if you listen to what gets said about the mortality rate of you know, the coronavirus, what is it? COVID-19? Is that the technical term for it now. If you look at that, You know, you'll see estimates from anywhere from less than 1% to 3.4%. Okay, so that means the vast majority of people that get it will, you know, 97% of the people that come in contact with it will not be impacted. So, I was thinking, like, okay, so where, and look, I work out of my house. So, I mean, I self-quarantine all the time. And so, you know, this is nothing new to me. So I'm pretty safe. But I thought, well, where am I most exposed to something like this? And so I thought, well, it's at the supermarket, man. It's at the supermarket in the ATM key punch line thing on that pad. That's where I'm most exposed to the coronavirus, I think. So walking around the store, not so much. You know, I guess randomly somebody could cough and blow it in the air, and I could suck it in or get it on me or however the hell that happens. But that pad is the, and I'm surprised because when I thought about it the other day, I thought that, excuse me, I thought that there is no, if Malcolm Gladwell's right, you all will start yawning here momentarily, so just so you know. There's no, like, wipe next to that pad that says, please wipe the pad off after you use it or before you use it, or both. So, I think that's interesting. And then, you know, well, what about when you fly? Well, I guess if somebody coughs on you, but again, it's the keypad that everybody uses. It's a keypad. So we no longer flush toilets. So that would be another common place that people touch. It might be, right, the water fountain in the bathroom. So anyway, I was just going through in my life, like, you know, where would I encounter that? And I think that the most likely place would be would be on those keypads. Now, if you have any thoughts on that, maybe I'm wrong. You can, so I'm like doing my own analysis. Like today, out over to Colleen's swim meet. Yeah, that should be uneventful, right? Come home, hang out with Jack and Joe, and live my life. you know what? Italy this morning, the nation's quarantine. So, is that something that's going to happen around the world? So I guess we will see. I guess we will see. Iran is the other nation. You know, no reporting from North Korea that has incredible contact with China. No reporting from there yet. So it'll be interesting. To me, if there's a place where, you know, that virus can do incredible damage. And then the other thing is on the West Coast here, if in any way, shape or form gets into the homeless community, and at some point it has to. At some point it has to. And then, you know, what it will do to that. And then will that put impetus on the state and federal government to do something about the homeless street encampments in cities in the Sun Belt? Be it on the West Coast and in the southern part of the United States. Because you can't do that in the northern part of the country. It's too cold. Right? It's too cold. You'll die. So yeah. Just some rambling thoughts as you watch this. The other thing that's going on is Joe Biden, right? Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders getting after each other. So that's interesting. The results from the Michigan, you know, Democratic primary will be available. So So we shall see if the Biden juggernaut continues or if the Sanders revolution, you know, overtakes him. So my instinct is that, you know, Michigan is such a union, you know, has always been such a union state and a Democratic state, that my instinct is that they would be Joe Biden people, right? They would be Joe Biden people, not socialist. So that will be the news tonight. So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. And this is dedicated to somebody who called me this morning and at 3:40 in the morning helping somebody else. And it's dedicated to the thought that we can help. We can help. We can say that we care. We can tell them that we've been there. We can show them a path. And we can tell them that they can do it. And all those are nothing but the truth. Right? But ultimately, you're not responsible for what happened. You know, you're not responsible for the decision that they make. And hopefully, you know, they're able to receive those messages and it makes a difference. But it doesn't always turn out that way. And so this is dedicated to, you know, to that endeavor that's not easy and that sometimes doesn't work out the way we want it to. And just like in combat where the enemy has a vote, you know, in this struggle against the inner demons that people have, you know, ultimately they decide. And so for everybody who tries to help people, right, there's only so much you can do. And I think there's a element of discipline in terms of understanding, you know, when somebody is beyond your help and making sure that they get the help that they require. So this is dedicated to that person and that thought.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather on Tuesday. Those are that's the sweet saxophone of Junior Walker. Exactly. Currently cloudy and 59 in Quantico. It is partly sunny or mostly sunny in 66 at Camp Lejeune. It is cloudy and 51 in 29 Palms. Rain's supposed to be sweeping through Southern California for the next couple days. At Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 58, so warmed up. At Pendleton, and they have 3 weather advisories, so we have to check that out. There's a beach hazard statement, a marine weather statement, and a small craft advisory. Okay. Pretty standard when it rains in Southern California. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 64. Okinawa, dark cloudy 62. In Afghanistan, it is cloudy and 50 degrees in the Helmand province. And warmed up in Iraq. It is sunny and 77 in Ramadi. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is raining and 60 degrees. Looking for a high today of 68. Lightning and thunder tonight. We don't have that very often. And yeah, if people from the Midwest would say, please, don't even go there with me. And they would be right. Lightning and thunder tonight. 80% chance. And a low overnight of 58. 68 tomorrow with continued rain. On Thursday, rain and 68 again. And then the rain goes away. And the weekend comes. So that is a look at your weather. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll check news headlines. On your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, one of the headlines I saw is, one of the things you saw is, you know, Chuck Schumer out in front of the Supreme Court last week and the stuff he said. And, you know, just like when that guy took the gun to baseball practice, right? The only reason there wasn't 20 Republican members of the House dead was because, you know, the dumbass went, tried to go through the third base gate, and people saw him. And reacted. Had he gone, had the third base gate been open, or had been smart enough to take a walk around to see which gate was open and go through the first base gate, he'd have killed 20 people. Well, you know, what generates that? The stupid shit that comes out of Washington, D.C. The stupid, disrespectful shit that comes out of Washington, D.C. And they don't learn that. And let me tell you, at some point, something really bad's going to happen. Somebody's going to go through the right gate. And Senator Schumer, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you watch the way Chuck Schumer does life, when he's on the floor of the Senate, you know, he constantly has his head down, so that you're looking at his hair plugs which he's got good ones, by the way. So does Joe Biden. So anyway, you know what? Watch. When you see people in their 80s and their faces don't move when they talk, you have to wonder how much Botox does he have shot into his face? I mean, and just look at how many people. Look at how many people on TV and look how many politicians, when they speak, their forehead is smooth, right? And other parts of their face are smooth. It's gross. I'm telling you, man, it's gross. It's gross. And then you'll see him caught at a wrong angle, and you're like, whoa, shit. Anyway, but when Chuck Schumer was speaking on the steps of the Supreme Court last week, it looked like he was speaking, you know, off the cuff. Now, I don't know if it was the video I saw where I didn't see his binder that he normally reads from, but I've got a recommendation for Senator Schumer. Don't go off the script, bro. The rhetoric that you used there in front of the Supreme Court, in front of the Supreme Court, is the rhetoric that animates people that have problems in this country. And nobody in the nation needs that. Nobody. So, you know, a word to the wise. Don't do that. And so they're going to take a vote in the Senate whether he will be censured. Now, again, if it falls along party lines, then he will be. But to me, it shouldn't fall along party lines because, you know, it's not a partisan issue when you talk about you will pay, you know, you will unleash the fury and you will pay. And he calls them out by name. And he wasn't talking about he didn't say justices, right? He named them by name. So... I hope that happens. I hope that happens, and that as a message to everybody, right? Words count, especially when you're in an elevated office, and you should use them responsibly. But you know what? You know, I say it's going to take something really bad to happen, but the nation digested September 11th. You know, what's it going to take for us to be better, right, with the national defense? Two of the tallest buildings in our country to be dropped on national TV by somebody. Thousands of Americans. That already happened. You know, and yet we find ourselves in those places. To the news we go. Two Marines were killed in Afghanistan, in northern Afghanistan. As they were part of a raid to destroy Islamic State hideouts in the mountainous area of northern Afghanistan. Killed were Gunnery Sergeant Diego Pongo, 34 of Simi Valley, and Captain Moses Navas, 34 of Germantown, Maryland. Both Marines were part of the 2nd Marine Raider Battalion out of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And so that's all that's been released. So, Keep them in your thoughts and prayers today, and in particular their families. U.S. begins troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. American troops have begun leaving Afghanistan for the initial troop withdrawal required in the U.S.-Taliban peace agreement, a U.S. official said on Monday amid political chaos in Kabul that threatens the deal. And the political chaos is... there was evidently two swearing in yesterday. President Ghani was sworn in at the official swearing in. And then his rival, I think his name is Abdullah, he held his own swearing in ceremony. And so, in the midst of this peace deal, you know, you don't have the federal government coming together to say, okay, we need to come together and present a united, strong, united front. You have something that we've never seen in the almost 20 years that Americans have been there, that is even an Afghan election now is being contested in a way we've never even seen before. Hundreds of troops are heading out of the country as previously planned, but they will not be replaced as the U.S. moves ahead with plans to reduce the number of American forces in the country from 13,000 to about 8,600. The sharpening dispute between President Ashraf Ghani, who was declared the winner of last September's election, and his rival, Abdullah Abdullah, who charged fraud in the vote, along with the Elections Complaints Commission, threatens to wreck the next key steps and even risk evolving into new violence. The U.S. has not tied the withdrawal to political stability in Afghanistan, nor any specific outcome from the all-Afghan peace talks. Instead, it depends on whether the Taliban meet their commitment to prevent any group or individual, including al-Qaeda, from using the soil of Afghanistan to threaten the security of the United States and its allies. So, again, you can see that, and again, you just saw yesterday, I talked about this last week, but Angelina Jolie said, you know, what the United States owes the women of Afghanistan. And so it'll be interesting to watch. It'll be interesting to watch what happens there. Because that will surely be, you know, an issue here in the United States. And I don't know that it's going to stop anything. And I played some audio last week hearing Afghan women express their concern. You know, they have no illusions about what's going to happen when the Taliban come back. So anyway, what are we, back to normal in Afghanistan? The VA has suspended some GI Bill enrollments, holding back more than 200 million from deceptive universities. Pretty interesting story here. The Department of Veterans Affairs announced Monday that it plans to terminate some GI Bill enrollments and withhold more than 200 million in payouts. VA officials notified the University of Phoenix, Colorado Technical University, American Intercontinental University, Bellevue University, Temple University, that the agency intends to suspend approvals of new enrollments. The move comes after officials found significant evidence that each school used erroneous, deceptive, and misleading enrollment and advertised practices to recruit veteran students, really veteran student money, according to a letter that the department sent out to veteran advocacy groups, the American Legion, right, DAV, right, Veterans of Foreign Wars, right? Quote, our aim in taking this action is to protect veterans and their dependents' GI Bill benefits and comply with the law, said VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. The department is committed to helping beneficiaries avoid negative consequences that may result. What does that mean? The VA would not comment on the specifics for stripping each school of their GI Bill eligibility, yet some of the for-profit schools have a long track record of conning service members and veterans. In December, the Federal Trade Commission slapped a $50 million fine on the University of Phoenix and ordered it to forego $141 million in student debt collection. Investigators said the school ran an advertising campaign targeting veterans featuring Microsoft, Twitter, and Adobe, falsely implying that the university worked with these companies to give students opportunities to work for them. Hey, let me tell you, GI Bill money is important money. I had a Marine come on. He's out now. But I had a Marine come on, I don't know, a year or more ago. And one of the things that that the Marine said was, you know, shop your credits, you know, take everything that you've done in the military and shop it. And you're going to have, you know, you're going to have competition. You know, you're going to have competition for that. And And so what does he talk about? Well, I mean, that's guaranteed money. That's, yeah, from the Veterans Administration. So anyway, this is huge, huge, huge business. Huge business. So, yeah, distance learning is a big deal. Now, a few other headlines from Stars and Stripes this morning, essentially coronavirus headlines. U.S. Forces Korea say a Burger King worker is the ninth coronavirus case as South Korean numbers show signs of slowing. That's good news, right? Army officials in Italy say soldiers should report to work as normal on Tuesday amid a nationwide virus lockdown. So you got that going on. And the top U.S. Army general in Europe is working remotely after being possibly exposed to the coronavirus. His name is Lieutenant General Christopher Cavoli. Right? His command is based in Wiesbaden, Germany, and he'll be telecommuting after he and several staff members were possibly exposed to the coronavirus, according to Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy. So good luck to him as he slugs it out. Head over to Naval Institute News. The carrier Dwight D. Eisenhower is operating in the Red Sea. So we got that going on. Navy kicking off a study of next generation carriers and naval aviation. What does that mean? Huh? So these are the issues. You know, it's interesting. When General Furness came on and talked about operating against a peer in a contested environment, one of the things that he talked about was command and control. How you can't have the Alpha and Bravo command group. That they have to be smaller, and they've got to be mobile, and they've got to be able to operate in different spectrums. And you might have to have more than two. So because of the lethality of modern weapon systems and the fact that anything that radiates, right? Anything that radiates can be detected. And if you could be detected, they can smoke it. And so, part and parcel of that is the antennas have to go, right? The antennas have to go that way, several kilometers. You got to get them away from everybody else. So just the way it is. So what does that mean? Instead of having, three carriers, what if we had nine, right? And what if now that you're going to have in a flight of four F-35s, only one of them's manned, and the rest of them all come at a cost of maybe half of what the original cost was, right? And so you can put those on smaller carriers, and so it'll be. I'd be curious to see what they find. Navy bars families from recruit and officer candidate school graduations over coronavirus. So yeah, I can't go see the little dude graduate. Right? Here's another drone event. Sonar equipped drone fleets could be key to future submarine warfare, you think? So you're going to go sub hunt, right? What do? You set out a swarm of underwater drones that are all pinging looking for something. How do you escape that? How do you escape 30 drones in the water? All systematically moving to detect you. Yeah, I'm telling you that's the whole robot thing. And you can kill them, right? They're cheap and easy to replace. So is submarines going to be eliminated? Yeah, it's pretty little interesting question. Well, no, they won't be eliminated. Really? In some audio that you'll probably hear tomorrow, the Navy commissioned the USS Herschel Woody Williams, and he spoke there. He spoke at it. Looks very Woody looks very dignified and in his outfit. So congratulations to him. He is a incredibly wonderful, warm, nice man. And so congratulations to him. And he still is doing good things. Right? He still is doing good things. I don't know if I said it yesterday or last week, but he has a foundation, and they put up monuments to Gold Star family in communities. And so he works with organizers who are interested, and they do good things. So he's not just an antique out there rolling around. He's still, you know, I want to say he's 96, still doing great things. From Marine Corps Times. Pentagon begins social distancing. What is social distancing? I know what self-quarantine is. Here's about, hold on, let me give you the definition of social distancing. Is that not shaking hands? Well, we're going to find out. Social distancing is a term applied to certain non-pharmaceutical infection control acts that are taken by public health officials to stop or slow down the spread of highly contagious diseases. All right, so there you go. So the Pentagon, so what does a Pentagon call social distancing? So there's what the rest of the world would do and what the Pentagon would call it. On Monday, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, in his regular meeting with senior staff, he was broken up into three rooms with video teleconferencing among the rooms, according to the Pentagon's chief spokesman, John Hoffman. He said that Esper and 15 to 20 people were in one room, including General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Each sat 6 feet apart in line with health guidance. Sounds reasonable to me. The White House said it is conducting business as usual as the president attempts to calm the nation. In the midst of the hysteria, in my opinion, instead of saying stuff like this, hey, look, if you can work from home, work from home. If you can conference using Skype and other teleconferencing apps, do that. If you have to be there, then you have to sit a fair distance away from each other, and you might have to be in multiple conference rooms. You know, all that makes sense. All that makes sense. There's pictures of the two Marine Raiders that were killed. Right? Young guys. Letter of appreciation signed by the commandant was mistakenly sent to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Wilson, who had been incarcerated and convicted of molesting a young girl at Camp Lejeune, and then was released and allowed to retire. The Marine Corps said it actually sent a letter of appreciation signed by the commandant to Lieutenant Colonel Wilson as part of an agreement with the Corps after several legal convictions. Though Wilson's child sexual assault conviction was dropped, his convictions for seven other relatively minor violations remain. In late February, Wilson received two letters, one from Berger and one from President Donald Trump, thanking him for his long career as a Marine. It is relatively common for retired Marines to receive letters of appreciation, but the Corps said its letter to Wilson was an accident. I think these are standard letters that, you know, it's not like the commandant signed the son of a bitch, right? They're the ones that go out to everybody in the world when they retire, to include mine, for Barack Obama and Joe Dunford. Yeah. Didn't know that, did you? Mm-hmm. quote, a retirement letter to Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Wilson was mistakenly generated and delivered due to administrative oversight by staff at Headquarters Marine Corps. Wow. He actually answered a phone call from Marine Corps Times. The nature of Wilson's retirement left even him surprised to receive the letter. Typically, you get those at retirement, but I didn't expect they would send them in my case, and I was mildly surprised and pleasantly so, Wilson told Marine Corps Times in a Wednesday phone call. Even if both letters of appreciation end up being mistakes, Wilson said he didn't care. Why should I care if it was a mistake or if it was an oversight? It might take away the meaning for you. It doesn't take away the meaning for me. So, yeah, I don't, you know, all of that. How could it be? How could you miss it? How could you miss it by that much in the whole Wilson case? Right? If he's innocent, right? If he's innocent, how could that happen? Right? If he's guilty, how could that screw it up? And where does the truth lie? So, I don't know. Military justice, 2019 was not a good year for military justice. And you know, there's a review going on of the whole system to include NCIS. So, and you have defense attorneys that will tell you that's entirely appropriate. Right? That's entirely appropriate. All right, top five stories in Early Bird. And then, I haven't even talked about, you know, what we're going to do on the show today. All right, let me do the top five stories in Early Bird. And then you're going to hear an interview with James Moran. And you're going to hear about his career in the Marine Corps. And he's a businessman and started something called the Bar X Project. And it's really cool. It's really cool. It reminds, you know, it's a weekend veteran event, okay, with this caveat. You go with your battle buddies. Yeah. So it's you and your fire. It might be, you know, just might be one of your friends, or it might be your fire team that went, or your squad. So it's a small group. And they host a number of these up in Montana, and you're going to hear about how it got started, and that you know, hopefully, post-traumatic winning is going to be a part of what he does. So exciting stuff! Exciting stuff! So you're going to hear him here in a few minutes. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one: U.S. begins troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, according to officials. Now, again, you know, the more you see all this, the more I would tell you that this is the Vietnamization of the Afghan war, that the United States has made the same determination, right, that we are leaving, right, and, you know, the Afghan people better get ready to help themselves, because the Taliban have no intention, and they have not said anything remotely close to being right about dealing with the Afghan government. So, anyway, they better get their shit together. Story number two, two U.S. service members killed in fighting ISIS in Iraq. We talked about that. Not many details. The fight happened in northern Afghanistan. Wait a minute. This says in Iraq, but I don't think that's right if they're talking about the same story. No. So this story says, I said Afghanistan. Throughout the past 2 weeks, Iraqi government officials' Twitter accounts have been posting about fights in the Hamrin and the Makul mountain ranges of northern Iraq. Early Monday morning, the Iraq media security cell tweeted about a clash between Iraqi special operations, anti-terror forces, and terrorists that killed several terrorists in tunnels discovered in the Makul mountains. The purpose of the mission was to eliminate ISIS safe havens in a cave complex. The Makur Mountains are historically known to be an ISIS safe haven. However, there is no safe place for ISIS to hide. The Iraqi military currently estimates that between 17 and 19 ISIS fighters were killed in the attack. So, and let me correct myself, the two Marine Raiders did not die in Afghanistan. They died in northern Iraq. Excuse me. Next story. Number three, Army Europe commander goes remote after possible coronavirus exposure. So we talked about that. Number four, VA suspends GI Bill certifications for five universities over deceptive enrollment practices. Talked about that. And five, U.S. strikes in Somalia, nearly on a par with strikes in Iraq and Syria, which gives you some idea of how the United States is dialing up pressure in Somalia. And then overseas operations, that section, after a buildup to counter Iran, U.S. troops begin leaving the Middle East. So the U.S. is trimming the 90,000 troops across the region in Iraq and Saudi Arabia as Iran, ravaged by new coronavirus, hasn't posed a large threat since the Soleimani hit. So Iran really suffering under the blows of a number of different factors. And for whatever reason, their government doesn't seem to be very effective at anything other than suppressing the Afghan people, which is what the Republican Guards do. So anyway, we'll take a break. When we come back, you are going to hear James Moran, Marine Corps infantry officer, and got out, started a successful business. And yeah, he's an ATM. He's in the ATM business. So you'll hear him talk about that. And but he does things to help people. And so you'll hear about that. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.